To what are you looking forward? What are you looking forward to? Yeah, let me ask you this in another way. How many of you have put up a Christmas tree? Have you put up your tree yet? Have you been doing some decorating yet? You know, I know somebody has, because as I drive by Sags, almost all the Christmas trees are gone. So somebody's putting up Christmas trees. Somebody's getting ready. You know, maybe that's you. You're anticipating some exciting times ahead. Or maybe you are like so many others of us who our dreams are being diminished in the last 10 months. It's kind of like we're struggling to anticipate really anything good that's, you know, just ahead. Where are you this season? You know, it's a season typically of great anticipation, but is your anticipation great? You know, I have to be honest that I find it not so easy right now to be excited about the future. I'm reflecting on the year and, you know, how it started out so hugely promising, you know, in life and in ministry. There were so many big plans ahead for all the things that God was going to do in and through us here as a church at Bethlehem and in our lives. And you know, things have turned out way different than what it looked like at the beginning of the year. You know, 2020 has been something of a strange time. It's something very different than what, at least what I anticipated. But not only that, but I really do miss, you know, all of you who are watching online who aren't here. And I'm grateful for all of us who are here, for all of you online. I think it's amazing that we can gather like that. But, you know, I just miss that being in community, being in fellowship, you know, bumping arms up close and giving a hug, you know, those things that we seem to have taken for granted. I miss you. I really do. So if you ask me, what am I looking forward to? I have to think deeply, because on the surface, it seems like I'm missing those big things to anticipate. So maybe if you feel like me just a little bit, then I think this message from Isaiah today is just for us, just for you, just for me. It's timely, because it's going to help you and I anticipate or re-anticipate the future that is ahead, the good things God has in store. Because now more than ever, we need to be anticipating an amazing future that is before us. As the followers of Jesus, it's true now more than ever, there are still greater things to come. And sure, you know, there are going to, the waiting gets long. It really does. I know there's going to be some ups and downs along the way yet ahead. It's not all going to be easy. I know that it's going to be easy to get discouraged yet as we're moving forward. But the message of Advent tells us, don't give up in the waiting. Don't give up. Keep looking ahead. Keep anticipating, because the best is yet to come. So the message of the book of Isaiah, as we receive it today, comes from about the middle, chapter 40. And it's almost a whole change in the book. You know, up to this point, Isaiah the prophet has been prophesying to people in exile, to Israel, who is facing this being carried off and losing everything that they loved and had. They're in this land of Babylon, and things are difficult. Things are tough. Certainly, there is little glimmers of hope throughout those chapters, but it's a difficult season for Israel. There's not much to anticipate, not much to look forward to. And then all of a sudden, in chapter 40, things change. It's like we wake up on the far side of a disaster. You know, the people are getting exciting. They're getting impatient to be out of captivity and to walk into the promises and the return of everything that has been lost. Does that sound familiar? So we haven't faced 70 years of exile, certainly, but this has been a difficult year. And we can't help but think about all the things that we've lost and then somehow anticipate that regathering and the great hope to return to what once was. So are you able to envision a brighter future? Are you able to envision a future even brighter than before 2020? So as we listen to God's message of hope and restoration today, it comes to God's people through the prophet Isaiah. He says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins are paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." God has promised that he won't abandon his people. He won't leave them in the midst of the exile. He's going to rescue them. He's going to redeem them. He's going to restore them. That's the great hope. Comfort, comfort for my people, because the best is yet to come. You know, former pastor here at Bethlehem Church, Pastor John and Chris Stewart, they do a midweek message kind of similar to what we have online here. And Chris, Pastor Chris, said something that really stuck with me this week. She said she can rest her faith in the promises of God. Her faith rests in the promises of God. You know, I love that phrase. I really do. You know, it doesn't matter what storms are raging around us. Faith doesn't have to wonder. Faith doesn't have to worry. Faith doesn't have to question. It can be calm and secure right now in the promises of God, because there's that confident assurance that God is going to fulfill his purpose for his people. Comfort, right in the middle of the chaos. Peace, right in the middle of the storm. Anticipating the promises ahead once again and preparing, getting ready for the greater things to come. I think this is our theme moving out of 2020, you know, getting ready for the things to come. You know, we're going from surviving a pandemic. We need to go into thriving in the promises of the future. What's to come? Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell won't stand against it." That's an amazing promise, isn't it? God says he's going to call his people and fulfill his purpose, and nothing is going to stand in the way of that. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, because God is doing a great thing. And the passage of Isaiah, it gives hope to the people as the promises are starting to be fulfilled. He says, "A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain shall be made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places plain." The whole passage is this incredible, uplifting message to the people in Isaiah's day, that God is making a way for the exiles to return back to what once was. The captives are finally going to be set free. They're finally going to get to go home. It's finally going to be over. So that's our first point of preparation today. First thing to keep in mind, liberation is in the air. Say that with me. Liberation is in the air. You know, deliverance from captivity, release is coming. You know, God is doing a great work, and he's removing all the obstacles that stand in the way of God's people doing what God has proclaim them to do. Every obstacle, every valley, every mountain, every rough place is being laid bare. Nothing is going to stand in the way of the exiles' return. Now, that's a hopeful message, not just for the people then, but for us now. Nothing is going to stand in the way of God's promises for his people. God's liberation is in the air today, and God is going to prevail against anything that stands against his mission being accomplished, because God has one purpose in mind, one purpose, and we read it in verse 5, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. God's glory will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this message is pointing to a new revelation of God's glory. And to be honest, we are experiencing it right now as followers of Jesus, as our faith rests in God's promise of Christ's return. And it reveals our last point in this preparation today. The first one is liberation is in the air. The second one in this preparation is that in a constantly changing world, God is the one enduring reality. You know, in this world that's totally upside down, God is the one enduring reality. Say that with me. God is the one enduring reality. God has always, always been the constant in a changing world, in our lives, in our troubles, in our joys, in everything. God remains lasting. Isaiah writes about it. He says, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Last week, church planting pastor, Pastor Jeff Olson, he's also on staff at the Northwest Conference. He gave us a message a few weeks back. He asked for a little history on Bethlehem Church, that he wanted to talk to the church planters today, you know, the difficult things that are going on. He wanted to talk to them about churches that have been planted in the past. So I sent him some information. Our church was planted, started in 1898, you know, 122 years ago. And over those years, you know, the people have changed, right? There's whole new faces in the congregation, turned over several times. And even though the people have changed, even though the pastors have come and gone, you know, the buildings have changed from being remodeled to being rebuilt to a fire and being restored, the one constant in all that is the Lord, right? The message of the gospel. And even though the pandemic of 1918 and through two world wars and through a depression and a drought, God has been the one enduring constant. Even through 9/11, through presidents elected and defeated, through political parties transferring powers, through heresies that have threatened the very fabric of unity in the church, through financial fortunes gained and ones lost, in all these things, the one constant has been the Lord. In the births of new children, in lives celebrated, in the death of the saints, through the celebration and the grieving, the joy and the pain, the one constant has been God. The gospel writer of Mark, he records, actually Isaiah continues, he says, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So we remember it. We tell it, we proclaim it, we announce it, we anticipate it. The one constant. Because in our day right now, the world is waiting for some good news. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. You who bring good news to Zion, Isaiah writes, go up to the mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice and shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with them. His recompense accompanies them. Him. So 500 years after this exile, the Israelites left Persia back for Jerusalem. And 500 years later, John the Baptist, he picks up the same theme, this amazing new revelation of God's glory being revealed in Jesus. The gospel writer in Mark, he records, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. So he ties this all back to God's proclamation in the past. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So do you hear it again? Liberation is in the air. John preaches and he calls people to turn and return, to turn from their sins and return to God. He reminds the people that in a constantly changing world that the one enduring constant is God. He's the true prophet of biblical magnitude. You know, we read about him with camel's hair outfit, a leather belt, locusts and honey. You know, I was thinking about dressing up, but I couldn't find a camel, so... But here's his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, John says, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he's pointing out our greatest anticipation, the one who's going to bring the Holy Spirit and life. Jesus, in his own words, he describes this Holy Spirit outpouring. He says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. know, this is the baptism that goes all the way back into prophetic history with Ezekiel, that anticipation of the day when God says, I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit. It'll be a heart that returns to God. And just like God had promised through the prophet Jeremiah so long ago, he says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, and they will return to me with all their heart. So John the Baptist, he's anticipating this baptism that comes in Jesus, giving people a new heart that seek after him. You know, to me, that sounds like revival. That sounds like a spiritual awakening. That sounds like what God is doing right now, right in our midst. That God hasn't stopped his mission, hasn't stopped his plan for calling people to him, to know him with all their heart. I believe it's the message that liberation is in the air and God is revealing himself once again as the one enduring reality in a constantly changing world. This is the new anticipation of God's people. For Israel in exile, it was the anticipation of going home. For Israel in John's day, it was God's Messiah ushering forgiveness and the coming of the Spirit. So what are we expecting in these days? What are we anticipating in a coming liberation? Today, the call of Isaiah 40, it's still going out around the world. The message is being told this very day in churches and on the internet throughout the world. Prepare the way for the Lord. In the letter to the church, Peter wrote and encourages us not to get discouraged. I think that's kind of an interesting thing. He's telling us, you know, don't get discouraged. Jesus is coming. Some were questioning if Jesus is really coming back. It was so long ago. Is he really coming? You know, we're sitting in the pew Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We're waiting and waiting. Is this thing really happening? Is God moving? Is God at work? Or has he forgotten about us? Has he forgotten his church? Peter says, do not forget this one thing. So, hey, if you're on the internet and you just checked out and went and got some coffee, now's the time to listen. If you forgot everything so far that I've said, this is the one thing. Peter says one thing. So if you're like, I only get one thing out of your messages, hey, here it is, okay? One thing. Ready? The one thing. Peter says, don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Did you get that? 1,000 years is like a day. Say that with me. 1,000 years is like a day. So when we put that into the context of days and years and a week, that means that Isaiah's message from the Lord, this comfort to his people, it came to us on Thursday afternoon, right? It's like God's midweek message. Comfort for my people. Make a way for the Lord. And then on Thursday Friday morning, God spoke to prophet John that he was preaching repentance at the Jordan River. He said, you know, get ready, prepare the way, the Lord is coming. And so now here we are in God's timing. It's already Sunday, right? Sunday, and the Lord is coming. Psalmist says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. See, fulfillment is coming. In Habakkuk, God spoke to the prophet. He said, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. So those of us that are having a hard time anticipating, understand that God's timing will not be delayed. God is at work right now. And the writer of the letter of Hebrews, in that 1,000-to-1-day ratio, he says late on Friday morning, he says, you need to persevere. He says, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So here's Peter's point in all this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. 2,500 years is not slow in God's timing. So all God's promises are a yes in Jesus. They are coming true. They will happen. We can anticipate them. We can count on it. That means as a follower of Jesus, we need to prepare for the inevitable. Everything we've been waiting for up to this very point, everything that has been promised is coming, and soon. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. As some understand slowness, instead he is patient with you. This is an amazing revelation to me, that God is patient with me. I always had the idea that I was patient with God, right? I was waiting on God. God, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. I'm waiting, right? You ever feel that way? God, I'm waiting. That's not the case at all. God is patient with me. God is waiting on me. God is waiting on us. The scripture says that God is waiting for everyone to come to repentance, for us to proclaim the message. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So in this constantly changing world, the one enduring reality is God patiently waiting on us. God doesn't change. From the very beginning, his plan has been put into action to rescue humanity from sin. You know, the message is the same for the church. Jesus came to save the world from sin, to save sinners like you and me. And Jesus is coming back. God's word to the prophet Isaiah doesn't change either. He says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. So as and the Son is coming in God's timing. So liberation. In this season, liberation is in the air. Freedom is coming. Freedom is at hand. Isaiah declares to the captives, their hard service has been completed. Their sin has been paid for. You know, that strikes me today as a reminder for all of us who are listening today. You know, the days we are in, though we're not suffering in exile, we feel like captives, right? In our homes and in our communities. We've been disrupted from our daily routines and those rhythms of life and worship and faith and gathering and fellowship that we all hold so dearly. For some, even gathering in worship isn't possible right now. So as the days drag on, our hope for celebration, it seems like it's challenged, and we begin to anticipate less and less, less to look forward to. And I just want to say, though we might feel that way, very real, we might feel that way, it's not true. Not for a Jesus follower. We have so much to anticipate, so much to look forward to. You see, liberation is in the air. God hasn't changed. We already know the outcome. By the power of the cross, we are delivered. Glory awaits us as we will be gathered with Jesus in that day. And so as a believer, you and I, we already have a new heart. We are already being drawn to God. The future is great. We are called to anticipate that day. And while we're waiting, Peter says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Pastor Greg, in conversation this week, he told me that I asked him if the pandemic has kind of diminished his view of ministry. You know, he's fairly new into this gig, a few years, doing a great job. But, you know, if he was kind of getting discouraged about what the future holds. And I was a little bit surprised by his response. He said, not at all. It's like, whoa, that's good. He said that he thinks this pandemic is actually going to cause us to look forward that much more to when we can regather and when we can once again be the body of Christ as we so long to be, that we won't any longer take for granted the things that we used to take for granted for, and that we'll rejoice in being God's people and being together and sharing the good news. He's anticipating a future where God is at work. So while we're waiting for God, even now, right here, ministry is happening. New things are that God is doing. Like the group that's meeting called Abilities Ministry. They're a small group of adults living with disabilities, and they're an amazing group, freely loving each other, enjoying Jesus, and celebrating together. And so it's wonderful to see them and to see their group gathering. And I just see God at work in the midst of that in a marvelous way, a new thing. The Holy Spirit is at work right around us, all around us, and more importantly, right now, right here in the church. So God is making the path straight. He's bringing mountains low. He's raising up the valleys. He's making the plain, rough places smooth again. We're looking forward, church. We're not stuck. We're waiting, certainly, but we're not giving up in the waiting. We're looking ahead. We're anticipating in this Advent season because we know the best is yet to come. But in the apostle writes, Peter writes, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The apostle tells us, look forward, be looking forward. So in our anticipation in this season, in our preparation, we come to the table. And it is a reminder for us of all God's promises fulfilled in Jesus. We are reminded that the one constant and that changes all around us is our Savior. The Lord desires that everyone, that all people come to Him in repentance and receive the new life in Jesus' name. See, liberation is in the air as we come to the table this morning. Freedom is at the table of our Lord. And He invites all of us to come and to receive and to enjoy and anticipate the glory of His return. So if you've been waiting for grace, if you've been waiting for that good news, then we find it in Jesus. Isaiah says, speaking of God, he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Jesus is that tender shepherd who invites us into his grace and into his arms. And into his loving care. So if this is all new to you today, if you've been watching online and maybe caught us and you're not sure what this is all about, but you're in this place where you just find it difficult to see things to look ahead to, then I invite you today to consider putting your trust in Jesus, to receive him, to accept him, to know the promises that are in him, that are all to be fulfilled, and to know the hope and anticipation of his return. If that's you today, if you would like to come to the Lord and experience his grace, his comfort, his peace, then I invite you to trust in him in a simple prayer. And for the rest of us here today, you know, when we talk about preparing for the Lord, we know that there's some turning and returning to do. And I invite us today to put ourselves before the Lord, to turn from those things we know that don't please Jesus, and turn back to God and trust him in great anticipation for the joy that is to come. So let's all come before the Lord in prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross. I am sorry, Jesus, for my sin. Please forgive me. I know that your death on the cross for me forgives me, and I accept that. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Send that life-giving water overflowing within me, the life of your Spirit within me, that I may follow you, and know the joy of your salvation. I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.